إن الحمد لله تعالى نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فهو المهتدي ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله، بلغ رسالة وأدى أمانة ونصر الأمة وجهد الله حق جهاده، تركنا على بيضاء لليلها كنهارها لا يزيغ عنها إلا هالك، صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وسلموا تسليما كثيرا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا والنساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله رسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أحسن كلام كلام الله تعالى، وخير الحدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر أمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. ثم أما بعد، السلام عليكم. First of all, let me apologize for coming late. There are many factors involved. One was that I was extremely tired, and that was the main factor. I think I was extremely tired, and it was at the last minute I decided to get in the car and drive to come. I don't know what it was. Usually when I travel backwards and forward to Morocco, and it seems when I drive, and it takes me 3 days driving, hard driving, I come back feeling more energetic than when I come by plane, which takes 3 hours. So, I mean, there's some scientists here, maybe they can tell me the reason why that is. It could do with the airing system in the plane, but I was really, really tired, and alhamdulillah, I arrived. First of all, I would just like to say that usually when we get into these kind of topics, you know, talking with Muslims and non-Muslims, especially the Christians, because I don't really deal much with many Jews, but the Christians, it always get buck wild, you know, it always get out of shape. A lot of emotion comes into place, and people just start speaking from emotion, and they leave the book. Even sometimes you find the Christians, they have the book in their hand, but when you start speaking and you really start hitting the nail on the head, the book goes in the back and it all becomes my emotional, my experience in life and all that sort of stuff. And it's not going to get us anywhere. What we want to do is deal with the book, or the books. That's what we want to do. Deal with what the book says, not what you think the book says, or what you hope the book says, but what the book actually says. First, and another thing is, today we find the Muslims in a very pathetic and sad state. And it's true. I am a Muslim traveling around the world, looking at the reality of the Muslims, the true situation of the Muslims throughout the world. We are in a sad, pathetic state. Despite the fact we have, and we make, and I make no apologies for that statement, we have the clear guidance. And when we talk about guidance, we mean guidance that is going to lead to salvation. Guidance that is going to lead to salvation. And salvation is something which most of the people, including Muslims, have forgotten. We're not talking just because of some political goals or some political aims that we want to achieve. It's not about that. All these talks and this gathering, and this sitting, and this throwing words backwards and forwards, it's not a situation of Manchester United and Liverpool. It shouldn't be that. Well, my team is better, even though your team is at the bottom of the league. It's still the best team in the world. I mean, it's amazing the way you hear people argue when it comes to football or these kind of things. You know, even with countries, my country is better than your country. Why? Well, we got more cars, we got more skyscrapers, we got more... No. We're talking about the difference. The difference between heaven, and heaven does exist, but not on earth. You may get a little taste of it in this world, but heaven is not a glass of Bacardi with ice in it on a rainy day in Peckham. No. Yeah, that was one of the advertisements they put up on the board. Big advertisement board, paradise. Huh? A glass of Bacardi with ice They brainy peck him. I mean, come on, let's get serious. But people fall for that kind of stuff. People fall for that kind of stuff. In the advertisement that's coming nowadays, people have forgotten about paradise and hell. And paradise being true and hell being true. And I remember a few years ago I actually read in the papers that one of the auditors came from the hierarchy in the Church of England. And I know that most Christians don't adhere to the Church of England, but never mind. It came from them that don't mention hell. You know, in the old days, when we used to go to church, it was all hell and brimstone. If you look at Miss Jones' legs, you're going to go to hell. If you look at this dirty woman, you're going to go to hell. If you look at pornography, you're going to go to hell. If you drink, you're going to go to hell. Nowadays, nobody talks about hell in church. He said, no, if you talk about hell, people get frightened and they run away. And we need the people to come to church. We need to make church more exciting. So what did they do? What did they do in the church? I remember when I came to this country in 1968, you didn't find many black people in church. That's why black people went and made their own church. Because our church, just like our cricket, from the West Indies, it was noisy. It was noisy. You remember the early days when West Indies used to play England? The English people, we was used to go to cricket singing, drinking tea. And the Afro-Caribbeans would come with their steel band and their drum and make it all about noise. Oh, what, how uncouth. How uncivilized. This is not the way you play cricket. Cricket should be played in silence. You hear the knock of the ball against the oak. Well, I think it's oak they make the cricket bat from, I think. Right? They like to hear that sound, but when the West Indies are playing, you ain't hear nothing but, oh yeah, over, whoa. But after a while, they realized there was a lot of money involved. So we encouraged the West Indians to come. So we put a few West Indians in the English team, and then the English also would be making some noise. This also happened with the church. Because when I came to England, used to the church back home, it was a lot of noise. I used to love to go to church, even just for the noise. Because it was nice dancing and singing and beating the tambourine and jumping up and down and it's going wild. And when we came to England, going to the Anglican church, it was dead boring. We used to bunk off from church. Because it was so boring. You know? And then the people start leaving the church. You know what I'm talking about. You was there. And then all of a sudden, I remember when the people used to come around, I remember some guys came around and they were American Anglicans. Of evangelists, and they wanted to sell us Christianity, and they brought popcorns. They brought popcorns, so we invited them back the next night, because we wanted the popcorns. It was a nice story. It was all fun. It was very interesting, and the popcorn was very tasty. So what happened? In the early days, black people were not allowed to go to the churches, or they weren't encouraged. Then they realized, hold on, the black people opened their own churches, and a lot of the young people who wanted a bit more excitement in their church service began to go to those churches. And then lo and behold, what did you have happen? Now you have these evangelical churches where people standing up there catching the spirit, we used to call it back home, praising the Lord, stamping their feet, shouting and going crazy. But we live in that. And our Muslim, the mosque are still boring because till yet, we've got no dancing girls, and we've got no drums, and we've got no trumpets yet. But I would not be surprised if one day that happens, because as I said, the Muslims are in a pathetic state. They have left the guidance that Allah has given them, the clear guidance. Even when it comes to telling the Christians and the Jews, which is our obligation to tell them about the truth about their messengers, you find silly statements being made. Statements like, we are all one. No, we ain't. No, we ain't. There's only two groups of people in this world. There's only two groups of people in this world. Not Muslims and Christians and Jews. No. There's only two types of people in this world. When we strip off all the things, there's only two types. There's only one race of people, humans, and then after, and ins. Not humans, ins is the proper word. And if you understand what the word ins mean in Arabic, then you get a better understanding of these people that are living on the face of this earth today. They're called ins. From the word what? Nasay, to forget. So we people are prone to forget. We are prone to forget. We are prone to forget our true status and purpose in this world. So when it comes to the Muslims dealing with the non-Muslims, as I said, there's only two types of people, guided and misguided. Those who are guided and those who are misguided. And we make no apology about that. And we Muslims, we say, we are the guided ones. If we follow the guidance. Not if my name is Fatima, my name is Abdullah, and my father's name is Abdullah, or my name happens to be Muhammad or Ahmed. This does not prove that you're guided. You are guided if you are following, as we say, that the best speech is the book of Allah, the Quran. And the best guidance, the best example that explains the Quran is the guidance of the Messenger of Allah, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And it has been throughout the history of humankind, or the jinn, or the ins, is that Allah has sent to them from period after period messengers. And the messenger was to call them back to one thing. And we as Muslims, we have been commanded in our relationship towards the Jews and the Christians. We are commanded by Allah, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. قل يا الكتاب تعالوا إلى كلمة سواء بيننا وبينكم. Say to the people of the book. Who is the people of the book? The Jews and the Christians. This is a special title that is given to a group of the non-believers. Hear this word, because sometimes some Muslims say, you can't say that they're non-believers. They are non-believers. They are only believers and non-believers in this world. There's nothing in between. Believers, non-believers. Guided, misguided. On the road to paradise, on the road to hell. That's the reality. So we, who are guided, bi-ibnillahi ta'ala, are commanded by Allah, our Lord, the one whom we worship, the one who knows and we don't know. He says to us, قُلْ يَا أَهْلَ الْكِتَابِ تَعَالَوْا إِلَىٰ كَلِمَةٍ سَوَاءٍ بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَكُمْ. Say to the people of the book, the Jews and the Christians, let us come to a word that is common between us and you. What is that word? قُلْ يَا أَهْلَ الْكِتَابِ تَعَالَوْا إِلَىٰ كَلِمَةٍ سَوَاءٍ بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَكُمْ أَلَا نَعْبُدُ إِلَّا اللَّهَ. What's the word? لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهَ. Where do we find this? If we ask the Christians, can you find this, La ilaha illallah, in your Bible? I don't want all the Christians to shout. La ilaha illallah. Where in the Bible is this statement? Now, why don't you translate it? Why do you need to translate it? Translate it to what? Huh?
Because we don't.
That's a great tragedy for you. Now, that's not funny. It is not funny. It's not meant to be a funny statement. It is a great tragedy for you who claim to be following, not maybe yourself, but many Christians claim to be following who? Who therefore claim to be following?
God.
No. You claim to be following Jesus, who was the prophet of God sent to guide you. But some of you call him God, but we'll deal with that later on. But you claim to be following Jesus, his way. Because Jesus is supposed to have said in the Bible, I am the way. And Jesus didn't come speaking the Queen's own. He didn't come speaking English. So how are you going to understand truly what he said? When you don't even have his words. Rather, what you have is a translation of a translation of the translation of the meaning of his words. That's what you have. That's what you have when you pick up that book called the Bible. Because he had no book going about in his hand called the Bible. He left no book with anyone called the Bible. And it also goes for the Jews. They were given two books. One book was given to Isa, the son of Mary. It was called the what? The Injil. Not the Gospel of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and Peter, and Paul. It was called the Injil. And the Injil is what? One book. It is referred to one book, not Kutub. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are four books. Kutub. We're talking about Kitab. To Isa ibn Maryam. And then a book, a kitab, was given to who? Musa alayhi salam, which was, this, the Jews claim this is their book. And Jesus did not speak English, Moses did not speak English. Rather, these two, Jesus and Moses, were Semitic people who spoke a Semitic language. Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is also Semitic and spoke a Semitic language. And as the Messenger of Allah said, all the messengers are brothers. All of them are brothers. From the same father, but different mothers. What does he mean by this? That the essence, the foundation of their call is the same. It's the same. But some of their laws differ. But the foundation upon which those laws were built is the same. Which was what? What we're commanded here to say. Ta'al ila kalimati sawa'un baynana wa baynakum ala na'budu illa Allah. that we shall not worship anyone but Allah. And this is what you were commanded in the Bible. You find this statement in the Bible. However, you find the translation of the meaning of this statement in the Bible. If I say, La ilaha illallah, wahdahu, la sharika lahu, where do I find that in the Bible? It is present in the Bible. It is present in the Bible. It is present in the Bible, which both the Christians and the Jews hold. But they have forgotten it. They have forgotten it. It is written in the Bible, and the first law is what? What's the first law?
And the second is like unto this, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself.
No. Because that's what Jesus explaining to them and re-emphasizing to them the first commandment. That's Jesus re-emphasizing the first commandment and the second commandment. He combined them into one. When he said, love thy Lord thy God with all thy soul, with all thy might. So if you love the Lord thy God with all thy soul, with all thy might. But you notice one thing here though. What do you notice here? What do you notice here? Here is this lady repeating what is reported to come from Jesus. But yet, how many Christians repeat this statement yet miss the mark? He said, you shall love the Lord thy God. He didn't say you shall love me. He's teaching you that you should love the Lord thy God. Hear, O children of Israel. The Lord thy God is one. In what? One as a number? Or one in your love to him? One in your worship to him? One in your submission to him? That's what he's saying. Not two, not three. He's not saying, you should love me. He said, you should love the Lord thy God, the one who has sent me. He's not saying anything different than what we are saying as Muslims. Come to a word which is common between all of us, that we shall worship none but Allah. And part of our worship to him, that we shall love him more than all of mankind, including ourselves. And an extension to that is that we should love his messenger or his messengers. That we are commanded that we should love the messengers and don't speak self about them. And don't attribute self to them. Because the messengers are the representative of God of the God Allah to mankind. So here we says, come to a word which is common between us, that we shall worship none but the one true God. And that is what Jesus says. And that is what Moses said. And that's what the Jews were commanded to do. And that's what the Christians, or people who came to be Christians now, were commanded to do. So the first commandment is, thou shalt worship no other God beside the one true God, and thou shalt not make any graven images of him. Why? Why can we not make graven images of God? Why? Because for us to do that, we have to equate God with that which he has created. We would have to use an image of creation to say that image is God. Why? Because the God is infinite, while our minds is finite, limited. So how can we grasp? So what did the Christians do in the end? They made God a man. Walking, talking, man. And they said that this man is God. And what led them to that? What led them to say that this man was God? Did this man, Jesus, say to the people, I am God? Did he say that to them? No, rather he said what? That you should love the Lord thy God with all thy might, with all thy soul. Huh? You should submit to him. When the man came to him and asked him, according to the Bible, what should I do to enter the kingdom of God? In other words, what should I do to achieve salvation? And that's what we're talking about. Salvation. Salvation from what? From the anger of God and the punishment of God in hellfire. And how we get salvation? By achieving the mercy of God. Of the God. So the man came to Jesus, said, how would I achieve salvation for myself, for my soul? And the Bible reports that Jesus said that you should love the Lord. You should love the Lord thy God. Or he said, you should do God's work. Do that which God has commanded you to do. The man said, I'm doing that already. And then Jesus said to him, then if you're doing that, then give up all your worldly possession and follow me. And then what happened? The man decided to go his own way. Showing what? Showing what? The man was not sincere in seeking salvation. Because if you knew that what salvation truly was, there's no price that is too high to pay. Because this life and the riches that you have, God has given it to you. God has given it to you. Part of the worship of God is that you acknowledge to God that He is the one who has given you what you have. The brains you have. The walk you walk, the talk you talk, the air you breathe, the ability to breathe the air. You appreciate that God has given all of this to you. So part of your worship to God is what? You show gratitude to God. Well, Allah says, وَلَكِنْ أَكْثَرُ النَّاسِ لَا يَشْكُرُونَ. Most of mankind are ungrateful. They don't show thanks to God. Part of worshipping God is to worship God the way He has commanded you, not the way you feel. You find the people now, going up in church and standing up, beating tambourine. Where did God tell you to do that? Where did Jesus tell you to do that? Find yourself about jumping up like some fool, crazy person. Where did God teach you to do that? You're walking on the high street, minding your own business. Some guy jumps up in your face. God loves you. What kind of da'wah is that? What kind of call to God is that? Is that how Jesus went about doing his business? Is that how he went about doing it? Look at the way they're dressing and they're going to church. Look at the way they're dressing and they're going to church. Is that what God has commanded you to do? Is that how he tells you to dress to go to church? Oh, it don't mean nothing. The clothes you wear doesn't mean anything. Of course it does. The way you act, the way you talk, the way you walk, express what is in your heart. Express what is in your heart. You don't decide. He decides. Because if you say you love him above everything else, then his word takes precedence over everyone else's words. And it's amazing how we hear the Jews and the Christians speaking. We have a right to Israel, for example. And we don't want to get political. But okay, if you have a right and you call the Bible as your proof and as your evidence for the right to Israel, then how the hell in Israel you got democracy? Is democracy from God? If you claim, pardon? Democracy from the devil. What is democracy? What is democracy? That you can end up with people like, what's his guy named? Mandelson. An enemy of God. No, keep on. You can have a chance. You can have a chance. God is going to allow you to have somebody, to choose somebody like that. You know what the Bible teach and the Torah teach you? Huh? Where the homosexuals in the book of God? Where the homosexuals in the book of... Oh, don't talk about homosexuals nowadays. You can't talk about them nowadays. They have risen so high in society that they're terrorizing the people. That if you open your mouth against homosexuality and you bring the Bible or the Quran or the Torah to show, look what the God says about them. No, brother, you're homophobic. Homophobic is a mental disease. I suffer from the mental disease. A phobia is a mental disease, a mental disorder. Now you want to call me mental because I'm saying that homosexuality is a crime against mankind and is a crime against God? And I could close the Quran and I open the Bible and I speak from the Bible. The Bible says that homosexuality is a crime against God and a crime against mankind. But you find a Christian saying, no. You see, God loves the sinner but hates the sin. No, you please keep quiet. You're going to have a chance. You're going to have a chance. You finished? You finished?
Time for questions.
I don't think maybe 1 or 2% of Christians think this way. I don't believe. Let me ask you if there's lots of Christians.
We'll ask afterwards.
Do they say...
Afterwards.
Well, is the time... Hold on,
man. No. This is democracy now, you see? Those people who call for democracy, they are the first people to go against democracy. I've invited to speak, I've been given time to speak, and you'll have your time afterwards. Now just sit down and shut up. If you can't sit down, shut up, go out.
I think that I confess myself for better, but that you are saying Islamic. I'm sorry. I'm forbid my sitting to tell me, by the way you speak, you don't really help much.
Okay, thank you, but can you please respect yourself and sit down and give other people a chance? If you can't take the pill, what you should do, either go and get some water or leave.
You're quite dangerous.
Okay.
No,
please. The time for discussion is after my talk.
Yes.
The time for discussion is after my talk. I'm sorry.
Excuse me.
Are you speaking for anybody else? Or are you speaking for yourself?
I'm speaking for myself.
Okay, so therefore what you should do is wait until the time to come for you to speak, then I'll speak.
If you let these speakers speak here, this is democracy at work here, and then we'll give time for all, because it's an amazing talk here, and I'm sure there's questions hold on, man.
No, you're here to listen to me.
Can you be quiet, please? Can you be quiet, yeah? Oxygen mask will definitely fall from the ceiling. Just put the elastic band around your head and put a cup up your mouth. If you give the guy a chance to speak, please. You will be asked questions, and he will answer your questions. So, I'll leave it to you.
ولا نعبد إلا الله ولا نشرك به شيئا ولا يتخذ بعضنا بعضا ربابا من دون الله. Yes, Allah says, say to the Jews and the Christians, come to a war that is coming between us and you, that we shall worship none but Allah, and that we shall not take none from among ourselves as Lord besides Allah. And taking as Lord besides God is people are going to come and make halal for you that which God has made haram for you. In other words, people are going to make permissible for you things which God has made forbidden for you. That is what it means. And that's what we Muslims have come to tell you people. That let us come to this world between us, that we are truly worshipping God. And what God has made forbidden is forbidden. And what God has made allowable is allowable. And we don't want no politically correct religion. Because we are with Allah. We are not with the devil. And it is the devil who comes. It's the devil who comes and whisper in the ears of men. Who makes the vile and disgusting deeds pleasant and pleasing to them. God has made, not only with Muhammad, but with Moses and with Jesus, forbidden fornication. Where is fornication now? And what is fornication? The only way that a man can have sex and the only way that a woman can have sex is what? Is where? When they are married. When they are married. So all those bastards that are walking about the place, and that's what they are, bastards. Don't call them love child. Oh, you don't like to hear that now. Because you've been injected with what? Love child, love child, love child. That's a bastard. According to Islam, according to Christianity, according to Judaism, and the man and the woman who engage in fornication, according to the Bible, what is the penalty? We leave the Quran alone because we are the fanatics. According to the Bible, what's the penalty? Death. Death. And what's the proof is death? They brought the woman to Jesus. Huh? And they say, no, this, you see, in this case, Jesus is abrogating stoning to death. No, he's not abrogating stoning to death. They brought a woman to Jesus, and to Jesus, it is written in the law that the woman or the man who is caught in adultery is stoned to death. We've caught this woman in the act, in the very act, we took her. What do you say now? Because the Jews, what they wanted to do? Trip Jesus up at every turn. Every turn, because Jesus came and exposed them for what they really were, a wicked and adulterous people. So the Bible says about the Jews, but now the Christians nowadays, no, because the Jews are our friends now, so we just put that aside. See, they went from one extreme. In the time of Easter, you have to slaughter the Jews in this country, kick them out of this country before Adolf Hitler kicked them out. Slaughter them in Spain when they took Spain away from the Muslims. Slaughter the Jews there, but all of a sudden now they've gone full circle like they did with the women. The woman was nothing, all of a sudden now she's everything. They went from one extreme to another extreme. But now they say, no, we can't read those verses in the Bible, as if they don't exist in the Bible anymore. If the Bible is the Word of God, why are you afraid of the Word of God? So they brought the woman and said to the woman, we have caught this woman in the very act of adultery, in the very act we took her. So the Bible says, as they were speaking to Jesus, he knelt on the ground and he began to scribble in the ground. And as he's scribbling, the men are leaving one by one. The men are leaving. And who are these men? Who are these men? Your ordinary Joe? No, these are the scribes and the rabbis, the learned people, the leaders of the society. So as he's writing, they're leaving, one by one, till he finishes and then he looks up and he says, woman, where are your accusers? He says, woman, where are your accusers? There are no more accusers now. So how is she going to be stoned to death? The accusers have left. So what did Jesus say to her? Woman, go and sin no more. He said what? Woman, go and don't sin no more. He didn't say to the woman, oh, we don't stone to death anymore. Keep on what you're doing. He says, woman, go and don't sin no more. Why? Was he going to now try her? There's nobody accusing her no more. There's no one. The little woman, did he say about these same people? A wicked and adulterous people. So what was Jesus writing on the ground while they were leaving one by one? What was he scribbling in the ground? He's a messenger of God. And God knows everything. And Jesus is writing on the ground what God has revealed to him. Because they say, we caught this woman in the very act. See how they're twisting the words of God? You see how they play with the religion of God? Subjugating people and oppressing people with the so-called word of God, which is not the word of God. They're using the religion of God to make people their slaves. So that they become the gods over mankind. Huh? Take from us, we know. Follow us, we know. We are the hierarchy. No one's allowed to read the Bible unless we say so. Once upon a time, it was a punishment by death to have the word of God. But in Islam, never happened. Never happened that the Muslims were denied access to the word of God. From the very beginning, when Muhammad ﷺ came with the Quran, he went to his companions and he taught them. Even the people who couldn't read, what did he do? When he fought the war and he captured prisoners, he said to the prisoners, as your ransom, teach those who can't read to read. He did not tolerate illiteracy. He didn't tolerate ignorance. Why? Because this guidance, which has come from God, is the guidance for all of mankind. Whoever wants to take it, take it. And there's nothing in your way except your own self. So the punishment that was given to Moses was what? Death. What is the punishment for apostasy? What is the punishment for apostasy? To abandon worshipping God. What is the punishment? Death. Where do we find that? In the Quran? Leave the Quran alone. In the Bible. In the Bible. When the children of Israel took the calf to worship, what was Moses commanded to do by God? Take 12 from the 12 tribes and go and slaughter those who worship the false gods. That's what Moses was commanded to do. And that's what he did. And you say, oh, it was barbaric. But nowadays, let's skip that over. Because why? We are now living in the 21st century. We have to be different. We have to be politically correct. We have to now be whiter than white. We have to now brush up the words of God. The Bible says clearly that the woman is not the level of the man. The Bible says it clearly. The woman is not allowed to preach in church. She's not about to be a priest in church. The Bible says that. I don't say the Bible says it clearly. If it's the word of God, why don't you go by that? Do you know why? Because you don't believe it's the word of God. No matter how much you holler and scream, you don't believe it's the word of God. We are commanded as Muslims, let us come to this word that is coming between us and you, that we shall not worship anyone but Allah, that we shall go back to what? The commandment, the first and second commandment that was given to mankind, which was what? Thou shalt worship no other God besides the one true God. And we shall not take anyone from among ourselves as gods and lords besides Allah. In other words, bringing laws for us that we have to follow, which contradicts the laws of God, and accepting them, because we love the Lord our God with all our might, with all our soul, and there's no room in our hearts for anyone else. That we will subject ourselves, we shall bow down in ruku and sujood to Allah and Allah alone. But if they turn away, then say to them, then at least you bear witness that we are Muslims. Bear witness that we are Muslims because we were commanded by Moses and before Moses, Abraham. Wa idh qala Ibrahim li abihi wa qawmihi innani bara'u mimma ta'budun illa ladina fatarani. Moses said to his people, Abraham said to his people, oh my people, I am free of what you worship besides Allah. I've made a separation between myself and you. We are commanded to follow the religion of Ibrahim. What religion was that? What religion was that? The Jews say, we are the descendants of Ibrahim. Yes, you are the descendant, but you're not following his way. The Christians say yes. And you find some Muslims saying an abominable statement, the free Abrahamic faith. How the hell did Abraham have free faith? From where did he have? He must, to have free faith, he must have free hearts. But Abraham had one heart. And that heart was where? Submitting to who? Allah. And he passed it on to his son, as he said to his son, huh? Oh my son,
Allah has chosen you and the religion for you, submission to His will. And do not die except that as a Muslim. Do not die as one, except as one who has submitted his will to the will of God. That's what he commanded. And that's what his son, Yaqub, commanded his children. Yaqub, Jacob. When he gathered the 12 sons, he said to the 12 sons, and what shall you worship after me? They said, we shall worship the son of you and the son of your father Ibrahim. Of your father Isaac and your father Ibrahim. 3 generations. We shall worship the same God that Abraham worshipped. And who was that? Who was that? Not the God of Israel. God is not racist. God of Israel only. And it's strange. Isn't it strange, isn't it? You people were not Israelites. You sit down there and say, the God of Israel. Hey, oh, you God of Israel. The God of Israel is one. God of Israel? Who is the Israelite? What is Israel? Israel wasn't a place. Israel wasn't a place. Israel was the name of a person. And the children of Israel are his descendants, starting first of all with the 12 tribes of Bat. And we believe, as Muslims, we believe in what they believe. We believe in what was revealed to them. And we believe in what was revealed to us. Because what was revealed to us as Muslims is not in contradiction to what was revealed to them. Which was what? That thou shalt worship the Lord thy God. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God. And all of this talk should be about this. Either we are wrong, or you're wrong. And if we are wrong, then we say to you, like Allah said, Hatu burhanakum in kuntum sadiqeen. Don't get emotional. Emotional is going to get you nowhere but fire. Emotional is going to get you nowhere but into the hellfire. What we need is burhan. Allah says, Hatu burhanakum in kuntum sadiqeen. Produce your convincing evidence if what you are saying is true. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. Because we're not playing. It's not Manchester United and Liverpool. It's not the West Indies and England. It's not Mike Tyson and Lennox Lewis. It's about what? Salvation is a difference between, the difference between what? Living a life in peace and tranquility that no eyes have ever seen and no ears have heard and no heart could ever imagine. At the end of all of this, when the human, when a person, either he's lying or he's driving in his car or he's doing something, sometimes in a party or somewhere, and a knock comes, and the knock only comes once, when Allah has decided your time is now up and you leave this world, your test is over and you're going on to your journey, either you're going to find Allah and you're going to find the mercy of Allah, or you're going to find Allah and the punishment of Allah. So your hollering is no good to you yourself. You can holler as much as you like. That shows your ignorance. That shows the ignorance of people, that all they want to do is shout and scream you down. Just like the people were when they were with Jesus. Here is Jesus coming, talking nice and sweet and calm. And what the other people do? What the ignorant people do? They can't take it. And they don't want anybody else to take it. Isn't that strange? If I've said something that is wrong, then I'm here. I'm here. All you have to do is gather all your evidence and throw it. Just like when Moses came. You see, falsehood can never defeat the truth. Truth can never be equal by falsehood. Hear what I'm saying. Truth can never be equal by falsehood. Never mind defeated. But falsehood can be equal by falsehood, and it can be defeated by another falsehood. But the truth can never be. So if you have the truth, then do like Moses did. Or do like Jesus did. If you are followers of Jesus and Moses, what did Moses do? When he came to Pharaoh, and he came with the staff, which Allah gave him the power to turn to a snake, and he gave him the hand that when he put his hand underneath his armpit, it came out white, without any hurt. When he came to the people said, we can deal with that. See, God, Allah, knows that we don't know. He gave Moses that thing that the people could relate to. That when they see, they can understand that, yes. So they said, what? This is magic. And magic can be defeated by other magic. So one magician, so what did Pharaoh say to the people? Gather all the magicians. Moses is only one magician, gather all the magicians. So when they came, they said to Moses, you throw first. Moses said, no, you throw first. That's the way it always goes. The people of falsehood are always challenged. Bring your falsehood. So they threw down their ropes, and the ropes became snake. And Moses was momentarily afraid. And Allah said to him, don't be afraid, Moses. I'm with you. We Muslims need to remember that. If Allah is with you, don't look anywhere else for anybody else. You don't need no one else. Allahu wa lilladhina amanu yukhrijuhum min adh-dhulumati ila an-nur. If Allah is with you, you're walking in bright light. You ain't got nothing to fear. Say what Allah commanded you to say. Do what Allah commanded you to do. Don't be afraid of the mockers. Don't be afraid of the sniggers. Don't be afraid to say, yeah, I am a Muslim walking the talk and talking the talk. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to say, listen girl, I don't need you. I don't want you and I don't need you. Because why? Allah has made it haram. Allah has made you haram for me. It takes a real man. It takes a real man to stand up and say no. It takes a real man to walk away. So when God, Allah said to Moses, don't worry Moses, I'm with you. So then Moses put down his staff. And what happened? What happened? Like always happens. The truth just destroyed the falsehood. Just destroyed it. Same with Jesus. They came, the Jews came because the Jews were so stiff-necked. That's the nature of the Jew. That's the nature of the Jew to be stiff-necked and rebellious. And that ain't being anti-Semitic. That's telling the truth. That's the history. That's the history of Bani Israel. Whenever a messenger from God came to them with that which they did not like, they would kill him. Or they would try to kill him eventually. They killed John the Baptist, didn't they? Jesus wasn't the first one they tried to kill. They killed the father of John the Baptist, Zechariah. They accused Solomon of being a magician and a fornicator. They accused Dawood of the same thing. They accused Jacob of the same thing. Look at the children of Israel when they wanted to get rid of Yusuf. Why did they want to get rid of Yusuf? Why? They call him Joseph. Why do they want to get rid of him? Because they say, our father loves Joseph more than he loves us. So let us kill him. And after we have killed him, then we can become righteous. Is that what the Jews say? Let us do all the corruption that we want to do. And then after we've done it, then we're going to be righteous. When Moses brought them out of Egypt, and they saw before with their own eyes, that God destroyed, even before that they were screaming and hollering, weren't they? When Moses came to rescue them from Egypt, according to the Bible, when they complaining, when Pharaoh started to give them some pressure, then they start complaining to Moses and Moses, we were in goodness before you came. You caused all of this. Huh? They gave Moses a hard time even then. And then when God brought them out, and before their very eyes, God destroyed the army of Pharaoh. Huh? They saw that with their own eyes, didn't they? They saw it with their own eyes. A great, great event. That the great sea, that God stopped the sea and gave them a route to escape. And they saw it with their own eyes. And they walked through with their own feet. They saw the power of God. And they saw that God was with them. And then they saw what after that? God destroyed the army, the total army of Pharaoh, including Pharaoh. Here was the time for them to say, Subhanallah, Allahu Akbar. No! Then they went out into the desert, and what did they do? 40 days Moses was gone. Only 40 days, you know. Not 40 months. 40 days he was gone. Left his brother in charge of them. What did they do? What did they do? They took all their jewelry, money, and they made it into a god that they began to dance around and worship. Huh? How many days had gone by when they were rescued from Egypt and they were rescued from the army of Pharaoh? How many days had gone by? Was it centuries? Was it a new generation that had forgotten? No, it was the same people. The same people who had seen the power of God and seen that God was with Moses and Moses was with God. But being rebellious and ungrateful, they began to worship a calf that they made with their own hands. Then they were punished. They were denied the promise of God.
But also about who is present and who shares the latest issue advanced. For example, if someone, his son is far away, he has the right to ask his son to be drawn over and meet his son for a few minutes, able to issue advanced but this is we might have different views about what is
it is meant.
And God fed them with manna from quail from heaven and gave them water to drink. And what did they say after that? When God was feeding them from heaven, just come out in the morning. Don't store no food. Just take what you want and leave the rest. What did they do? They start hoarding it up. They were afraid that God would cut off the supply. That's how food began to go rotten. Before that, food never used to go rotten. Then, what did they do after that? They said, Moses, we're getting tired of this food, man. We're getting tired of this food, man. We want Kentucky and McDonald's. Not that they say, we want of the earth. You get fed from heaven. Manna and quail. And now you start complaining. God is feeding you direct. Direct. You get up in the morning, the food is there. Before you go to bed, the food is there. And you're complaining. You want onions and garlic and lentil and other things from the earth. Huh? And that wasn't enough. Was that enough for them? Did they stop there? No. They just kept giving Moses a hard time, right down the line. When they said to him, command him to go fight Goliath, what did they say to Moses? When God said to him, okay, go and fight now. Fight for, you want this land? Go and fight for that land. What did they say? What did the Jews say? They said, no, you Moses, go with your God. We're going to sit right here. That's their nature, isn't it? We are studying history. Why do we study history? What is the purpose of history? As entertainment? No, so we learn some lessons. And to know, we need to go back. I don't say every Jew is the same. But I'm saying the nature of a people is to be treacherous. Look at this. Do you know, I think even in this country, it is a law punished by prison or fine to deny the Holocaust. Do you know that? In Germany, it's also the case, and most countries in Europe. Quite a few countries in Europe. I don't know if it's most, quite a few countries in Europe. It is a crime punishable by fine or imprisonment to deny the Holocaust. The work of the Jews. Huh? Showing to the people that we deserve sympathy. So why didn't they push to make a law that denied the existence of God? No. What they want is sympathy which they do not deserve. They want sympathy which they do not deserve. And unfortunately, many Christians have fallen into this trap. And the only people who are out, who can help the rest of mankind, are the Muslims. To show to the non-Muslims, those who have not yet been guided by Allah, the reality of this life on this earth. People want to live all cozy and comfortable with each other. How can it be? How can it be if you are a worshipper of God and you are commanded by God to worship Him and to love Him? How can you tolerate loving that which God hates? And God does hate. He hates the sinner. He hates the rebellious. He hates the rejecters. He hates the people who cause facade and corruption upon the earth. He hates them. So how can you love them and be with them all pally-pally? How can you tolerate when the people say, God is free, or God is four, or God is a cow, or God is a monkey, or God is a snake? How can you tolerate that? If you are to say, you believe that there's only one God, one creator. That's the devil's work. That is the devil who's coming now to make a United Nation religion. We're going to get there. We're going to get there. Hold on, we're going to get there.
We'll let the question time. You can answer your question. There's a time for
everything,
yeah?
Listen, I'm 42 years old. I think I'm too old to be your son. Yeah? I'm 42 years old. I think I'm too old to be your son. Okay. You understand what that means? Think about it. Sometimes we get phased where people come, yes or no. So I mean, I only said that to my son, yes or no. You know, I can command my son because I have some authority over him. You know? But it's bad manners to speak to an elder person like that. That's what I was told anyway. You know? And I learned that before I was a Muslim.
Can I ask your opinion on that
question? Yes, when we get to the question and answer session. Okay. What I'm going to do now, okay, because the time is going, I'm going to just leave it like that now. Because you're getting, people are getting a bit anxious to ask their questions, they're bursting at the seams. So, I think, because I was supposed to come back tomorrow to do another talk, which was Islam, the true religion. And this is half of it. So, we're going to leave it here, and then we'll just leave with the questions and answers for today. And then, tomorrow, inshallah. So, subhanaka wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.
When Tony Blair is standing up in the House of Commons and he's basically disrespecting William Hague, William Hague does not walk out. He waits till Tony Blair's given his chance, then he'll come back. So for all this enthusiasm you have, like the speaker said, he's supposed to contain it. And I'm sure everyone got questions and answers. So we'll take questions and answers one by one till 10 o'clock.
So, oh, Lord of mercy.
There's pieces of paper being talked about, inshallah. Okay, at the back. So if any of you are shy to ask any questions, just write the question on the green sheet of paper and then. The speaker will definitely answer your question.
I'll try to
answer your question as honestly as possible. Okay, we've got no agendas. We're just frank. Okay, so we'll take questions from the floor. Oh yeah. Okay.
Actually, you say that you like conclusive proof. With if people are to hold up Christianity or Judaism, if you're
okay, before I answer the question, I would like to answer the question, or the questions. First of all, are you a Jew or a Christian?
I was brought up in a Christian family, but I wouldn't say I'm a Christian.
So where are you now?
I'm thinking.
Okay. As far as the conclusive proof in the existence, I don't know why we have to prove the existence of God. The conclusive proof that God exists, or a creator exists, is you. When you look in the mirror, what do you see? A blank space? No, you see you. Okay, so here's your proof. Because either you was made by nothing, or something made you. And the first one can't be, is it? Nothing made you, because nothing can't make nothing. So something made you. Yes? You still going to think about that one? Huh? You going to debate it? Okay, let's debate it. Let's debate it. Either you was made by nothing, or something made you. No, this is high level. This is baby stuff. No, come on. Hold on. This is not even kindergarten stuff. This is like, come on.
It's not kindergarten.
You gonna give me another option. Give me a third option then. Either you was made by nothing, or something made you. I mean, where else are we gonna go? I mean, are you studying this university? Lord of mercy. That's what I mean by university people. No. What I mean by that, you see, when you go to university, right, to really make yourself look intelligent, you take something simple and you stretch it to make it look difficult. But it's not really difficult. But you just want to make yourself look clever. I remember there's a guy, I think, Hawkins. Is he is Cambridge? Hawkins. I remember one night, I'm sitting in front of the TV watching Hawkins talk. He's talking about time. And it was brilliant. The words he was using, it was fantastic words. But then I was sitting there and I thought to myself, you know all that? Was he there? That's a simple question you ask yourself. How do you know all that? Were you there? Because you're talking about something that's gone past. So who told you all this? Oh, it started like this, it started like that. Who told you that? It's all what? It's all palaver. That's all it is. Substance. That's all it is. Using words, trying to make something simple. Something very simple, trying to make it difficult. So people think, oh, that's really difficult. No, it isn't. It's either you were created by something or nothing created you. Simple as that. So I will deal with the rest part of the question when you find your answer for the first part. No. No. He mentioned Tony Blair and William Hague. We're not playing that game. We're not playing that game. So what's talking about? I don't even understand the word philosophical. What are you talking about, philosophical argument? No, I didn't give me an argument. I didn't say, look, I'm saying...
Exactly what I asked you not to do.
What was that?
You're now asking me to give conclusive proof that God does exist. Well, I'm asking you, and I asked you the
question first. But I've answered your question. Okay, hold on. I've answered your question. I've answered it long time ago.
All right. Can we move on to the next question?
But you're too busy trying to be clever, you miss the question, the answer.
All right.
You are the answer to that question.
Can we move on to the next question?
No, it's somebody else's time now. Okay. Pardon? What did you say? You said that something that was very interesting there. You want to see the conclusive proof of the Quran as the conclusive proof? No, please. You've had your time.
You said in your talk that for something to be true, you want to have sufficient proof on it.
Yes.
As an argument towards Christianity, and I'm just asking for your proof.
No, but I said the Christians don't have any conclusive proof.
Okay.
To their Bible, they don't have.
But do you have a conclusive proof?
Yes. The proof.
I really like it.
Okay, I'm gonna give it to you. The conclusive proof, and there's many evidences that supports the Quran. First of all, the Quran supports itself. In the beginning, what do we find? We find the first surah in the Quran starts off with what? What does it start off with? No, before Alif Lam Mim. What did it start with? It started with Bismillah Rahman Rahim. Praising Allah. Like anything which is from Allah, it praises Allah first. How does the Bible start? Hold on. We're going to compare. How does the Bible start? In the beginning, right. The question comes, where's the praise of God? Where's the praise of God? If something is from God, surely God is going to praise himself first in that. Yes? No, hold on. We're going to go very systematically, slowly, step by step. We're going to get there in the end. Paradise is not one big leap, you know. Paradise is step by step when you get there. The Bible starts what? In the beginning. Beginning of what? Beginning of time? Come at beginning of time. Time hasn't been created yet. So beginning of what? Everything what? Beginning before God? Before God.
It's everything.
No, everything what? What? Hold on, please. Just try to contain yourself, please. I'm asking very, here it's written, in the beginning. Now you're guessing, because you don't know what the beginning of. You don't know. The beginning of everything, that everything including God. No, it's talking about the beginning of what? Creation of this world. Because it goes on after that. In the beginning, there was already other things created. So it can't be the beginning of creation. In the beginning was the what? In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. It's talking about what? Not the beginning of creation. Because the heaven and earth was not the first thing that God created. So there's no praise. Rather, it's a confusion. Then the Quran goes on by saying what? Alhamdulillah. All praises belongs to Allah. So now it's talking about Allah. And it's teaching us what? We are going to, what comes after? Alhamdulillah bil alameen, ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Maliki yawmiddin. All of this is what? All of this is what? Praises upon praises upon praises of God. God, Allah, is teaching man how to approach Him. Alhamdulillah bil alameen, ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Maliki yawmiddin, iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. You are...